Okay, good morning, everybody. And the Chodesh yesterday was Rosh Chodesh. We started a new month, and I can take the audacity to wish my sister a happy anniversary for yesterday. So we're talking about cleaning clothing, and we said that cleaning clothing on Shabbos obviously is also if you're taking anything dirty to clean. And there's certain things which are not considered cleaning. They you could call them maintenance. Maintenance is not as problematic as cleaning. And we use various rules to define the difference. If you take something which is not wearable and you make it wearable, that is part of cleaning. But something which was wearable and now you just, it's a little bit better, then we said that's not considered cleaning. Therefore, we said that whether you're mucking on something or not is a very relevant factor in, is a very relevant factor in discerning whether something is clean or not clean. If you're not makbid, if you're not particular to have this garment clean, you would normally wear it with that dust stain or whatever it is. So that's not a problem. That's not a problem to do that, because you haven't really improved the garment. The garment was wearable and you haven't improved it. So we spoke about makbid and not makbid. We spoke about what color it is. If it's black, then the dirt is much more noticeable. And it goes back to being a very good garment afterwards. And if it's white, it's not so. It's different format of it. But that these are rules that are going to come up again and again when we deal with cleaning off dust stains and etc. So this morning I want to start with something that gets wet in the rain. So we've touched on just about every thing that we're going to deal with, but we're going to deal with now in the context, put whatever we've learned and put into the context of rain. So if you're coming from the rain and you're wearing clothing that got wet, what do you do with your wet clothing? So number one is it doesn't make a difference whether the clothing is new or not new, but shaking it out vigorously is also because, as we said, the cleaning process is made up of three stages. Stage number one is the putting the water in, which we call shriyosa zeho kibusoi, soaking is the washing. Stage two is the rubbing, scrubbing. And stage three is the wringing, the squeezing it out. So shaking water out of a garment on Shabbos is part of stage three, is the squeezing out of the liquid, and therefore it's considered also on Shabbos. If the garment is not a new garment, and therefore it's not considered a major improvement by shaking out the water, so then you can shake it, but you have to shake it very gently. So you basically just getting rid of the superficial liquid, and not that you're shaking it and rubbish, getting everything out of it. A raincoat has no difference to anything else, and even though it's made to get wet and you don't care about it getting wet, nevertheless, it still fits into the categories that you can shake it out, but not vigorously, not with strength. You have to do it gently. If, however, you're dealing with a material that is totally non-absorbent, for example, made of nylon, polyester, or rubber, or gummy, or something like that, and it doesn't have stitching, which is made of regular fibers, because we're worried about anything anywhere that might be absorbent. But if it doesn't have stitching, say the seams are glued, or it's made of one piece, or something like that, so then there's absolutely no problem of shaking it out because there's nothing absorbed. Just like we talk about a sponge, you can't use a sponge in Shabbos, but if that type of material that's non-absorbent, then there's no question of squeezing because there was never anything inside. So you can shake out something which is made of pure plastic. So if you have one of those raincoats that's just a sheet of plastic, or you have a hat cover for that matter, or a bonnet that you put over your chaisel, if it doesn't have stitching of regular material, of regular thread, then you can shake it out even vigorously. Then, of course, when it comes to hanging up, the same rules apply. Even though you didn't wash it, it only got wet from the rain, nevertheless, you can't hang anything up in the place that things would normally hang, which is a baris ayin, that people might be careful to launder it, but you can hang it up in its place, because that's not where you hang it up to dry. So you can hang it up on a hanger and put it in a place where you don't usually use for drying. You put it on the back of a chair, you put it something like that, that will be fine, just not in the place where you usually hang wet laundry, because that's a baris ayin. Even indoors, we said, is also. And of course, if it's wet, not to put it next to anything that can cause the liquid to cook. So don't hang it over a heater or a source of heat, because then the liquid inside the garment will get will get warm and then you'd have a problem of cooking. If you don't have any other garment to wear, so then you can even put it back on again. Now, generally speaking, you say wet garments you shouldn't move around. Once it got wet, you should be careful about how much you move it because you don't want to come to squeeze it. But if you have nothing else to wear, you can put it back on again. This is your one and only raincoat. So when you need to go out again, the fact that it's wet is not a problem. You can go put it on again. If you have a raincoat that clearly is not made to be laundered, and everybody sees that it's a raincoat, it's that one special plastic type of clothing that everybody knows is a raincoat, so then there's no problem of hanging it up to dry, because we said the whole Maori sign is based on the fact that people think you might have laundered something. If it is that material that everybody knows this is not something that goes in the washing machine, and of course if it's wet, it must have got wet in the rain, so then there's no Maori sign, so then you can't hang it up. As for snow, if snow landed on a garment and you want to shake it off, that's no problem, if as long as the snow is still superficial, still snow, and it hasn't melted into water and being absorbed into the garment, so then you can just knock it off without a problem again, unless we're careful not to do things too much with the strength, because if something is absorbed, then it's considered as squeezing. If you have a purely plastic garment, again, you can shake up the snow the same way you can shake up the rain. Okay, that is the kesher to rain. Now we'll move on to shoes. Shoes on Shabbos. So first of all, applying polish or any other form of increasing the shininess of your shoe is also on Shabbos. It's interesting. So veya is not only when you put color onto something. You have a white garment and you color it red. Now you have a red garment, that's tzeveya. But if you put red onto a red garment and not a custom hole, that is considered as increasing and improving the existing color. Which is interesting, because if you have writing and you go and you write over the writing, that means you don't create new writing, you just embolden the existing writing. We hold that that's not an issue of kosher on Shabbos. The writing was, the writing is. You didn't add any. But when it comes to tzeveya, we say that no, if you add color onto color, if it has some sort of improvement, then that is a problem of tzeveya on Shabbos. You do have to watch out that that's actually is tzeveya. Therefore, polishing shoes on Shabbos, whether you use cream or wax or liquid or even an oil impregnated sponge that gives a shine, all of them would be a problem of tzeveya on Shabbos. Apart from the fact that the more solid ones, the creams and the waxes, would be a problem of the mareach of smoothing something out. So then you've got a separate issue. But even without that, you have a problem of tzeveya. So no polishing shoes whatsoever, no shining shoes. That means even if you apply the polish in Erev Shabbos, now on Shabbos you want to come to shine it, that also is Asur on Shabbos. Therefore, what do you do if you get dust on your shoes? So we say dust is not really something that ruins the shoe, it just it's a superficial cover onto the existing color. So if you remove the dust, you're just showing what was already there from underneath. And therefore you can remove the dust, but you have to do it carefully, because if you're going to take a brush or a special cloth that's made for buffing up shoes, you're going to end up doing more buffing on the shoes than you are going to do of removing the dust. So you can remove the dust, but you have to do it gently and carefully to make sure that you're only removing the dust and not buffing up the color of the shoes. Now, what happens if a person went and walked in mud and now you've got mud on your shoes? How can you remove the mud? So first of all, we're going to make a distinction between whether the mud was wet or the mud was dry. As we pointed out last week, when mud dries, removing it is then going to make it crumble, and there's a problem of tochen. And in mud, we do hold a tochen, a tochen discussion, but we do hold it. Therefore, if you have dried mud, anything you're going to do with it is going to make it crack and crumble, so there will be oscillating chaps. If the mud is still moist and it's not going to crack and crumble, it just comes up as a blob. Even if it comes up in separate pieces, not in one whole piece, but you're not grinding it up because it's not dry. So then you can gently remove it with a utensil. You can actually push it off, as long as you're very careful not to scratch the leather while you do it. You gently remove the mud. That's not a problem. If the mud has dried and you still want to clean your shoes, there is another way to do it, and that is to make the mud wet again. And then you can remove it. But that can only be if the material of the shoe is a non-absorbent material. As we said, soaking something is a form of laundering, and therefore you cannot soak from Travis. You cannot soak from Travis. But we said that there's certain materials that do not absorb, and therefore there's nothing wrong with soaking. As for the second stage of cleaning, the shifshu, the rubbing, the scrubbing of the material, that applies even in non-absorbent materials. So we gave an example before. If you have a plastic tablecloth that's purely plastic, you can hose it down. That is spaghetti shriya of the soaking part of it. And the mele, you can soak it and it will get the dirt off, but you cannot rub it. So if you have shoes that you are certain that the shoes don't have any material in them that's going to get wet. So you, for example, if the sole was glued to the shoe and not sewn to the bit of sewn, then you have a thread over there. But if it's glued, or you're dealing with Crocs, which is purely made of a non-absorbent material through and through. So if you have something like that, or you're very careful that just the sole gets wet and nothing else, so you can actually stand in water and let the mud get soft, and you can remove the mud like you would remove soft mud. Or you could even take your shoes and put it under running water, as long as you don't rub them. They would also be permitted if you have dirt on your shoe and your shoe is non-absorbent. As for making seder of your clothing and folding clothes, so obviously the number one we're going to keep in mind here is going to be also hachana. You can't use Shabbos afternoon as your laundry folding afternoon and now fold the laundry and put it away, because that's obviously hachana. Folding is an issue. We'll deal with that in a moment. But stamas are tidying up is mutter. You're allowed to tidy up your house. You're allowed to put laundry in the cupboard. But what you can't do is you can't sort it, and you can't do it for the sake of later. So if you have a pile of laundry that's bothering you, it's in the way, you need to get it away. You cannot sort it out into the various types and belonging to the various members of the family, etc. But you can take the top garment, and now that the top garment's in your hand, you can put it away. You can even fold it in a way that's permissible. We will see in a moment what that means. And then put it away, and then you go back and you take the next garment from the top of the pile. If you're always taking the garment from the top of the pile and dealing with it as it comes to you, then you're never sorting it out, you're never sifting through the pile and finding what you need, but rather you just take whatever comes from the top that is not considered as boirim on Shabbos, not a problem to be done. If you need a garment and you have a pile, you can take out what you need, but again, remember boirim, therefore it's got to be something that you need right away. You can't have a pile of laundry and pull out clothing for tomorrow morning. You want to prepare your kids' clothing so when they get up in the morning and get dressed. So you go to a big pile of laundry and you pull out what they're tomorrow. That would be forbidden because that's boiling for non-immediate use. If you have a big pile and you need something from the bottom of the pile, you can lift the pile up and take out what you need. But again, it should also be done somewhere. It should be done close to the time that you need it. As for ironing is forbidden in any form. Nothing about ironing is put on traps. And now for folding. So folding, we have five conditions that need to be fulfilled before we allow a person to fold something on its folds. Number one, it's got to be needed to be folded for today. You need it for now. You need to put it away right now. Number two, it's got to be new and never washed. That means it's still in its pristine condition, and therefore there's no improvement made when you fold it. Number three, it's got to be a white material, not colored material, because I'll told us that there's less improvement when you fold it. Number four, you have nothing else. Nothing else is, you don't have another Shabbos item available. A weekday item is not considered as a replacement for a Shabbos item, but a Shabbos item doesn't have to be of the same level, the same niceness. As long as it's a Shabbos item, it means that you do have a replacement, and therefore you may not fold it once you have a replacement. It's got to be a necessity because you don't have anything else. And the last condition is that it must be done single-handedly. You can't do two people together, or even putting it onto a table and using the table to help you. That is considered much more of a better folding, and you want to avoid that on Shabbos. Once you have all these five conditions, you can fold things on Shabbos. Not very practical, I heard from Maharusa, heard from his daughter, who had a halakha share from Rav Noivet's son, and he said in his father's name that one time his father bought himself a new talis, and he was very excited that he was able to be mekayim this halakha. On Erev Shabbos, he got rid of his old talis. He told one of his kids to take his old talis and dispose of it in the way that one may dispose of talisim. And that way, he fulfilled all the conditions. Because he told his talis because it was necessary for the day. It was new. It was white. He didn't have another one. He had just got rid of it. And he told them by himself. And he was so excited, apparently, that this was the one and only time that he was able to keep his halacha, that he could fold something in a way that he fulfilled all five conditions. And I'm saying it's quite, in vast, we have lots of clothing and it's not all new and very rare that this is going to happen. Therefore, we need to find out what is permissible when it comes to folding clothing. So number one is what we say by a forbidden to fold means to fold it back onto its original fold. So if you have a talis or you have a tablecloth, to fold it up onto its original fold and put it away, that would be possible on Shabbos. If you have a pair of pants or trousers, as some people call them, and you want to fold them up, you want to put them over the back of a chair or something like that, you don't dafka makpi to have it on the folds. But if the way you hang it up is that it's going to sit on the folds, then you don't have to worry about it. Now, any garment, whether it's new or old, or you have another, you don't have another, can be folded not on its original folds. Chazal told us that when you fold something on its original fold, it's a form of tikkun. It's a way of fixing up the garment. Excuse me, this is my mother. Okay, I have you on the phone, and I'll continue the share.
Okay.
So we said that that folding on Shabbos is not allowed, but you can fold something not on its original folds. If you just haphazardly fold it, even though it's neat and tidy and it's put away properly, as long as you didn't fold it back into the original folds, that's not considered as the tikkun, as the fixing up of this garment, and will be permitted on Shabbos. However, this is an interesting point that not everybody's aware of, but it must be that part of the reason is that this is not anything permanent, this is not the way you're going to put it away. And therefore, really, you should refold the garment on Moshe Shabbos. So if you folded something on Shabbos, and you relied on the het of Shiloh B'Kikula Harisha, not to do it in its original format. So what you're relying on is that this is not the way you're going to keep it. If you then went and left it like that, then that's become its new folds. And therefore, you should refold it on Moshe Shabbos. Very practical for all the men who wear talitim on Shabbos morning. And after shul on Shabbos morning, they fold their talitim and put them away. If they leave them like that till the next time it's used, then that really is now making new folds. But if they take it out of Moshe Shabbos and refold it back into the correct folds, then they're showing that what they did originally was only temporary and was not part of the tikkun of the beggar. So too, if you have garments that don't have folds in them, there's no pleats, there's nothing that's ironed in, or it's that type of material that doesn't have a fold. For example, something that's a knit, or something that's made of nylon and doesn't have a folds, or plastic, or something like that. That's a pair of socks, or generally, you could say all underwear, would be that type of material, but there are no folds. So therefore, a folding to put it into the cupboard is not a problem of Shabbos. Therefore, if you have a pile of laundry and you're putting it away, as you said, you're taking the top one, you're doing them one by one, so that's not a problem to even fold them if the purpose of the fold is just for neatness. If you took your garment and stuffed it in your closet, you wouldn't have much space. So what do? You flatten it, you fold it a little bit, you put it in. If you're not marked it on the way you fold it, not marked it on the format of the folding, you just fold it so that it sits flat, then that would be mutter on Shabbos. Some things which are in their form folded, and you just put it back into its form, is mutter to do on Shabbos. Examples of that is if you have a hat, this is for the men, you have a hat and it has a knet in it, a dent in it, and that dent got pushed out, or a new dent got pushed in, and you want to push it back into shape, but we say that's not a problem, you're just returning it to the way it was, you're not doing any tikkun. So too, if you have a collar on your coat that folds over, and now it's up, and you want to put it down, that's not considered folding, that's a tikkun, that's putting it back into its original its original format, or if you have a cuff at the end of a garment and it opens up and you want to fold it back up again, so too that may be what may be done on Shabbos. And lastly, we'll end with one more halacha for today, and that is if you have a I don't know what it's called. You have a type of shoe form that you put into your shoe in order to keep its form, so the shoe shouldn't shrink or anything like that, or to stay its proper shape. You have this wooden utensil, which usually comes with a spring on it, that you put it into your shoe, hold it in place. You may do that on Shabbos. You may put it in on Shabbos and take it up, and you need to wear your shoe. As long as you're not doing it in order to stretch your shoe. Doing it to stretch your shoe, that will be awesome on Shabbos. The tickle in the shoe, and it will be makabe patish. But if it's just to retain its shape, that it shouldn't change, go out of shape while it's sitting in the closet, then that is not a problem on Shabbos. And that brings us to the end of that section and the end of our share today. Next week, in Yemetz Hashem, again, will be at 9:15. But then hopefully after that we get back to our normal time of 9:30. Wishing everybody a good day and a good week.
Thank you so much.
Ay, ay, ay.